A very warm welcome, everybody, to our joint parishes Zoom blether. And first of all, this morning, we're going to head for Kintore and to find out what's going on. Neil, over to you.
Thank you, Sheila. It's Christmas season. The first of our Christmas services is tonight, Sunday evening, carols by candlelight at 6 p.m. in the church, and also available on Zoom and hopefully YouTube. Just watch out for our Facebook and website to get the details for that. Then the Christmas services themselves start on Christmas Eve with a Christingle service at 5 p.m., which is in the church. We are taking bookings. And if you could contact our church secretary on email or telephone, her details are on Facebook and online, you're more than welcome to join us in person for Christingle at 5 p.m. on Friday. Then the late night watch night service starts at 11:15. That is only on Zoom. Again, you'll get the link online. And then Christmas morning will be on Zoom and in person in the church at 11 o'clock. And that is our Christmas program at Kintore. Over to you, Tose.
Thank you. I'm very happy to see the different culture of celebrating Christmas here. I'm very happy about the Christmas trees, Christmas light in the streets, which are not there in Zimbabwe. Very happy to see that and be part of that culture as well. As far as what's happening in Kintore, Neil has said it all. I hand over to you.
Thank you, Tosi. Talking about Christmas trees for the first year for many, many years, the manse will not have a Christmas tree in Manimast simply because we've got a kitten and she's climbing on everything. And so it's not that we're bah humbug or anything of that nature, but we are going to celebrate Christmas. We're going to celebrate Christmas in the church as well. And on Christmas Eve, we have a family service at 7 o'clock in Manimast Church. Christmas morning, we have a family service at Clooney Church at 10:30. And then on Boxing Day, we have a regular service. Well, it's actually going to be lessons and carols. And that's at 10 o'clock in Clooney Church Hall. So we're using the three buildings so that we have a bit of time. And there will be mask wearing and social distancing in the churches for all the services. So that's how we're going to celebrate Christmas. And now we go over to hear what's happening at Kemney with Sheila.
Good morning. I hope you're all going to enjoy the Nativity play, which is going to be broadcast this morning, and to see the children all performing, singing, even dancing during all of that. In the evening, we will have lessons and carols, and that starts at 6:30. On Christmas Eve, we will have the Christingle service, and we hope that we are able to get together to enjoy that time. We start the watch night service at 11 o'clock with carols, and then the watch night service itself after that. There will be no services in the church on Christmas Day or Boxing Day, and these will be available on Zoom as we share worship with the other churches in our grouping. It's important to look at our website and Facebook to get updates on all of these, especially to find out about booking a seat for these services, which we feel is quite important so that we can manage the congregation with appropriate distancing in view of the current COVID climate. So I now pass it on to Stella.
Good morning and welcome from Blairdaven Chapel of Gairy. The service today is in carols and lesson service. On the 24th, on watch night, we'll have a Christingle service with Sheila Mitchell at 5:30. We might change the venue, but at the moment that's in Chapel of Gairy Church with distancing. The Christmas Day service is just on Zoom, and we'll be sharing the other kirk services. And on Boxing Day, just a reminder that we're sharing the service at Echt in Midmar, and we're going over to Echt and look forward to being in a different building. But the usual Zoom will apply for that. Okay, back to you, Sheila.
Thank you very much. Well, on Christmas Eve, the family service is at 4 o'clock at Midmar, and that's a carol service with Christingles. and then watch night at 11:30 at Echt. Then, of course, on Christmas Day, as Stella said, on Boxing Day, we're having a joint service with our friends from Blairdaff and Chapel of Beery, and that's 10:15, the normal worship time in Echt. It goes without saying, as Sheila Simpson said, that this is really a movable feast, actually, this week. The COVID regulations and guidance from the Church of Scotland, we're expecting that that's going to be updated once, if not twice, because the COVID group is having conversations with civil servants and with the Scottish Government. So please, please, please double check service times by having a look online at Twitter, at Facebook, and also at our web pages. It's likely there are going to be changes to what we were hoping to have in place by the end of the week. Having said that, we're looking forward to a wonderful Christmas season and to worshipping together, regardless of which congregation we belong to. We are all welcome in one another's churches and to join one another in worship at any time. And now we do go to worship together because this is the day that the Lord has made and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Wherever you happen to be today as you join us, a very, very warm welcome. This is our joint parish's worship for the fourth Sunday in Advent. People of God, shout and sing. Tell the good news of peace on earth. God calls us out of darkness to walk in the light of his coming. Let all God's people say Amen, and let the earth resound with his glory. Together, let us worship God. Let us pray. Holy One, at Advent we turn our hearts and minds towards your light that broke into our world's darkness, the light that has changed everything. You invite us to encounter that light, and you ask us to be that light ourselves in a world that so desperately needs it. God, we come before you with words of praise on our lips and in our hearts. We come with humility in the face of your greatness. We come with acceptance of your will for us, and we come in the faith that your love has the power to change everything. We're reminded that God is the source of our joy. But there are so many variables, so many things that get in the way of our joy, so many things that can hinder the joy of others. Gracious God, you created the world and you called it good. And yet humanity has done so much to quell that goodness. We've fought with one another and failed to live in peace. At times we've shut out the stranger, shunned the immigrant. We've ignored the needy, judged those not like us, and in so doing have fallen short of truly reflecting your love and compassion to others. Our stubbornness and inattention can get in the way of how we view others. Our indifference and willfulness can make us blind to the things we might otherwise see. And our disobedience too often can tempt us towards other paths and other ways. Merciful God, hear our confessions. The word said out loud and the acknowledgements and admissions in each of our hearts. Hear us and heal us. The prophet Zephaniah reminds us of these timeless truths, that God rejoices over us with gladness and that God renews us in love. And we recall Jesus' words, "Take heart," he said, "for your sins are forgiven." So we take heart. And we give thanks,
For love that is broad and generous enough to encompass and cherish all parts of our lives and personalities. And we offer our prayers in and through the name of our Saviour and Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Luke chapter 1, verse 39 to verse 45. Soon afterwards, Mary got ready and hurried off to a town in the hill country of Judea. She went into Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby moved within her. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and said in a loud voice, "You are the most blessed of all women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Why should this great thing happen to me, that my Lord's mother comes to visit me? For as soon as I heard your greeting, the baby within me jumped with gladness. How happy you are to believe that the Lord's message to you will come true." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Shall we pray? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. On this last Sunday of Advent, Sunday before we celebrate the birth of our Saviour, traditionally up and down the land, people will be thinking about Mary, the mother of Jesus. In that passage that we read from Luke's Gospel this morning, Mary is said to be, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you bear." And it's important sometimes that we don't forget about Mary in the story. Of course, we don't, but I think that there's so much that we can learn from the life of Mary in faith. There's a lot of debate, and yes, division caused when speaking about Mary across denominations and churches. The Roman Catholic Church tradition is to hold Mary as the Mother of God, and as such to venerate her, to offer prayers to her, "Hail Mary, full of grace," etc. The Protestant tradition has a different view on Mary, and has to some extent, I suspect, underappreciated this wonderful woman from Holy Scripture. While I would never offer my prayers to Mary I would hold her up as a classic and important biblical character, one to be admired. Where I was brought up in Dundee and went to church, it was a part of Dundee called Lochee. And I was brought up in the church there in a community that was divided between Protestant and Catholic. There had been in Lochee a large Irish community, and as such a large Catholic tradition. And so the Protestant church and the Catholic church for years didn't get on. To that extent, anything to do with Catholicism was not really welcomed in my home church, ministered for over 40 years by a Highland minister. I recall the Christmas, once we got our new minister after this long-term ministry, that the minister brought in from his own home and put on the communion table as part of a church decoration at Christmas, a statue of Mary and Child. It was never shown again, because the elders thought this was far too Catholic for anything to do with in our church. It was really quite sad on reflection, because it's part of the Christmas story, Mary, the mother of Jesus. And so I thought this morning, briefly, I would think about Mary's story, not just the Christmas story, but Mary's life story, and see what we can learn from it. You know, in St. Luke's Gospel, right at the start of the story, Mary has a visit from an angel. And this young woman who's betrothed, who's engaged, who's kind of married but not, is told that she's going to have a baby by the Holy Spirit. She would suffer shame, fear. And yet, in obedience, she said, "I'm the Lord's servant. May it happen to me just as you have said." Imagine that. A young woman, a pure young woman, is going to fall pregnant. And it's not going to be her husband to be is the child's father. She's going to face stigma. And we know that Joseph was encouraged in a dream. He was going to simply quietly break off the engagement and not bring too much shame. But he was also told in a dream to marry Mary. And so Mary becomes pregnant. And early on in her pregnancy, or at some stage in her pregnancy, maybe not early on too much, she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who's also been blessed by God, not quite in the same way, but she too is pregnant. And she too is a miraculous pregnancy, because she is long past childbearing age. And so Mary meets Elizabeth. And that's just part of the story that we read this morning. And it's a lovely meeting when John the Baptist in the womb of Elizabeth reacts to the presence of Jesus in Mary's womb. She probably went there to have a break. She probably went there to get away from all the gossiping that might be happening. But she came back and she was heavily pregnant. She came back and Joseph accepts her. Relief and love shown in that act of acceptance. For God, as I said in Matthew, told Joseph to marry her, that the child was his. The Roman authorities intervene. A census is called. Joseph has to make the journey to Bethlehem from their home in Nazareth. And Mary, his wife-to-be, travels with him. A long and torturous journey for a heavily pregnant woman. I can't even imagine the circumstances. We all have these lovely images and pictures on our Christmas cards of Mary sitting on the back of a donkey riding, you almost think, serenely to Bethlehem. But it must have been torturous, getting up and down on a donkey, if there was a donkey, walking miles, sleeping overnight in the cold, suffering the heat during the day in the sunlight. It must have been torturous. but they had no option. A bit like us, really, at this point, all these changes and challenges that we're facing, we've just got to get on with it. And Mary showed true courage and got on with it too. They journeyed to Bethlehem, but as we know, there was no room at the inn. Can you imagine? Heavily pregnant, feeling the weight of the world and the weight of the child on you. Knowing that your time was near and nowhere for you to stay. I don't know if a lockdown and then when our internet went off and other problems that we've had recently around the manse, how grumpy I've got over the slightest thing. I can't imagine how Mary kept her cool, but I'm sure she did, aided by her loving husband Joseph, knowing that together they were doing God's will. Knocking on doors, visiting relatives, there's no place to stay until a hotel or an innkeeper tells them, well, we've got a stable around the back, it's at least dry, and you're welcome to use it. And we know the story. The child is born. The child is born, and we have this, again, this lovely sort of image of the child being born around the sheep and the goats and the cows and the mooing and the baaing, and everybody's happy, and they're almost singing Kumbaya as the baby was born. But in the wild, in the cold, in the rough of the surroundings, Jesus enters the world. Mary gives birth to her son. And then, on that night, she has to welcome strangers. Strangers, shepherds no less, people from the hill, those who lived on the outskirts of society. They came to see the baby because the angels had told them. And they went home rejoicing. Just imagine, you know, Mary having struggled, Mary having been through all this pressure, and not for a minute do I think that Mary had some sort of miraculous, easy birth simply because it was God's child in her womb. Mary was like any other mother, and she would be tired. And these strangers came to worship the child. A house is found. And later on, not that same night, sometime considerably further guests come. Wise men from the east, bringing gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, presenting to the new king. But that got the existing king angry. And Herod decided that all children should be killed. Again, poor Mary's life is turned upside down as she had to flee, and thankfully she was warned, and she had to flee for her life. And they went to Egypt. Now, we don't know what happened in Egypt. Lots of tradition about this, that they set up home in the Jewish quarter in the city of Alexandria, which was a place of learning, a university city, we might think of it. A great deal of religious teaching crossed Jesus' mind. And then they returned to Jerusalem, to Nazareth, setting up the family home, running the family business, Mary looking after Jesus. All of the things that she would have then taken on just, I don't mean just, but as the wife of Joseph. The next thing that we know in the scriptures, remember when Jesus was a young boy, they went to their first trip to Jerusalem. And when the child went missing, they went hunting on the way home, and eventually found him in the temple, surrounded by priests, talking about the law, talking about scripture. And Jesus' response, "Woman, did you not expect to find me in my father's house? Woman, goodness, I think if I had spoken to my mum like that, I would have got a bit of a rollicking." Jesus was showing that he was starting the journey that would lead eventually to a cross. We don't know when Joseph died. We can assume perhaps that he died before Jesus began his ministry, because he's never mentioned after this trip to Jerusalem. And Mary had to look after her family. And look after them she did, until Jesus left home. I wonder how she felt. A bit like any family, I suspect, when a child leaves home. Pleased for them in some way, but worried about them. And she had more to worry about, for she knew that Jesus' ministry might cause them trouble. And Jesus begins his ministry and performs his first miracle at whose request? His mother's. She didn't want to embarrass the family who'd run out of wine, so Jesus changed water into wine. She knew Jesus' gifts. She knew also that he would attract crowds, and she became one of them at one of the occasions. Your mother's outside. Who are my mother, my brothers, my sisters? Everyone who believes in God, said Jesus. How did that affect her? And then, of course, she witnessed the trial and execution of her first son, her firstborn. I cannot imagine the pain and the pressure that she was under. Witnessing the abuse, witnessing her son perhaps dragging his cross up a hill until his beaten body could carry it no further, wanting to break through the crowds and hug and protect her son as any loving mother would. Then she was there when Jesus came back. She must have had an influence on people in the early church, because people would have wanted to know stories of Jesus as a child, Jesus in his early life. You know, today we think about Mary, and I think of Mary as a loving mother, as a devoted follower of God, as one who gave up her firstborn son, God's only son. God made her life hard, changed the direction of it. But Mary, the mother of Jesus, faced it, accepted it, and lived with grace. This is what Elizabeth said about Mary. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Today we give thanks for the blessed Mary, for all that she showed us of faith, obedience, dedication and sacrifice, that she served her Lord. Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know that you love us. We know that you provide for us. We know that in Jesus Christ you have given yourself to us as Saviour. We have heard in the Gospel of today how Mary said yes to you in faith and became the mother of your son, Jesus. As we bring our prayers to you, Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus, who alone brings salvation into our lives. Like Mary, help us to open our hearts to your grace, so that we too, like Mary, can say yes to your holy will for us and testify to Jesus by our lives. Mighty and loving God, we pray for your church today, gathering worldwide in churches, chapels, and cathedrals to praise you and to hear your holy word. Give us a sense of expectation as we come and inspiration as we go. Jesus Christ, you travelled through towns and villages, curing every disease and illness. At your command, the sick were made well. Come to our aid now, in the midst of the global spread of coronavirus, that we may experience your healing love. Let us remember our brothers and sisters persecuted for their Christian faith. Let us pray that we, as Christians in this country, can stand up for our faith and hope in Jesus Christ, Saviour and healer of our hearts and lives. As winter creeps in slowly, and cold weather begins, we pray for the homeless and the poor, and we pledge ourselves to do all we can for them, either as individually or as a church. We also pray for those who are unemployed or distressed in any way. Father, look with mercy on your people. Help us truly, as you told us in the Word of God, to bring good news to the oppressed. Let us pray for our dear ones and friends who are ill or in need of our spiritual, moral, and emotional support. as we name them in silence for your blessing. Comfort and heal them. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your saving love. And we pray for ourselves. Father, we feel loved, we feel forgiven, we feel saved. Thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son, who offers us true peace and true hope. Help us to hold on to him and to follow him the way, the truth, and the life as we entrust you our prayers. And we now say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. And we now sing our closing hymn, number 286, Tell Out My Soul.
Go now in peace and be full of Christmas cheer, and may the light of Christ shine in and among you, and may the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and those you love today and always. Amen.